I want to give you what I think is a good motto for a marriage. Now, certainly as a Christian, we ought to make Christ the center of our home. As a Christian, he ought to be the center of all that we do. I oftentimes, when I'm counseling young couples prior to them getting married, I'll put Christ at the top and I'll draw their name or write their name here at the bottom, and then the female, the groom on one side, the bride-to-be on the other, and I'll just tell them, you know, if you think you're going to come together this way, it's not going to work. You know, him going toward her and her going toward him. But if you'll each one get closer to the Lord this way, you'll get closer to each other the right way. And I just think that that is very important in a marriage, especially when you're first getting started. And I think we have some folks here that remember that, how important it was when you first got married that you began to lay a good foundation. You know, a foundation is something that is oftentimes overlooked, didn't it? And we're just talking now, so just relax. Don't. Some of you look nervous. A foundation, I don't know that anybody's walked to a home and said, "Wow, look at that foundation." They usually talk about maybe the pitch of a roof, you know, an A-frame, or maybe it's the windows, or it's the aesthetics. It could be the shrub, or there's several things, the paint, the color. There's several things that people look at when they look at a house, but I don't know that I've ever seen heard someone say, "Wow, what a foundation." But you know, all that other stuff is really not that important if the foundation's not right. And I'm afraid that what we have fallen into in our culture is we make a big deal about a wedding and we really don't give much thought about marriage. And we just really, really need to give thought about, well, what happens after the wedding? You know, we go all out and get all this planning and get nervous and spend all this money. And I'm not saying that none of those things are bad. I'm just saying that there's more to a relationship, to a marriage, than that 30-minute, 45-hour, whatever, of the ceremony. You have to understand that this is a lifelong commitment you're making. It's a commitment. It's a covenant. It's really beyond a commitment. It's a covenant with God, and that's why folks attend your wedding. Folks don't attend your wedding just to show up and see what the bride's wearing or the groom or the attendants. They're showing up as witnesses. They're a witness to a covenant. And when we make a covenant, well, it ought to be sealed, right? And so as we look at this scripture, now there's far more in the book of Proverbs than I'm going to go over about marriage. The book of Proverbs is really filled with instruction for a husband and a wife. But I've just chosen a few that I think would help us. And I do. I hope that it'll help us. That is certainly my intention, is that we would get some help tonight. And so what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to, if you have something to write with and something to write on, I'd like for you to write these things down. And, you know, I'm going to deal with the ladies first, but I want to do this. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I want to read a few verses of scripture. We're going to pray, and then I want to read something because I want you to be honest. And it's not that I don't think you are. It's just I know how we can be sometimes. And I said we can make ourselves believe things that are just not so. Anybody in here like that? And the Bible says that, you know, most men, they'll think a certain way about themselves that's just not so. And we'll get to that in just a minute. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. And so I'm just asking you, be transparent. The only way you're going to get help is to realize your faults, right? I mean, how can you get help with a fault if you're not willing to admit that the fault is there? You understand? And so I just want you to be open and honest with yourself. You don't have, this is not between you and the person next to you, in case it's your mate. Then it is. But outside of that, that's it. Let's just get some help in these times that we're going to be looking at the family. Let's ask God to help strengthen the bond, strengthen the foundation, and to just shore up some things and help us to finish strong for we here on the backside of this thing. And to those of you that are just beginning, to get stronger and stay strong. All right? Proverbs chapter 2. If you would stand to your feet, I want to read the first five verses because we know what the book of Proverbs is. It's a book of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and instruction. And so here is a father speaking to his son. And he said in Proverbs 2, verse number 1 through 5, he said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Tonight, I mean this with everything within me. I want the knowledge of God about how to be the best husband I can be. And I believe many of you do. I hope all of you do. And I pray you ladies would want the knowledge of God, not some Hollywood celebrity, not some money swindling somebody that's throwing all kinds of information out there, but the knowledge of God who ordained marriage. We're going to the one that made marriage. He ordained it. He created it. Who better to tell us about the union of a man and a woman than he that brought it to be? And so we'll see what God says. Just some of what God says in the book of Proverbs. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. It is our desire to know your word, to honor you, to worship you, to obey your word, to practice your word, and to strengthen our homes, our marriages, our relationships. And so I pray that you would help us, Lord. Open our hearts and our understanding to the truth of your word. Speak to us through the ministry of your word and the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you would, as you speak to our hearts, that you would convict us and convince us of things that need to happen in our lives for our marriages to be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, before I get into this, I want to make very, very clear, as you turn into Proverbs chapter 20, we're going to be kind of turning back and forth in the book of Proverbs. I did want to show this before I get into too much, but in Proverbs 20, would you turn there? I want to make this very clear. There are no perfect marriages. No, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Say, well, I have a perfect marriage. Okay, well, I'll talk with your spouse after the service tonight, and I'm sure I'll get a different reading on that. There are no perfect marriages. And so it's just like there's no perfect parents. And some people think they're perfect parents. And there's no perfect children. I know some parents think their children are perfect. And the reason there's no perfect children is because there's no perfect parents. And the reason there's no perfect marriages is because there's no perfect people. And so this test is not to try to shame or guilt. It's to try to help and inform. All right? In Proverbs 20, in verse number 6, it says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." And so if we're not careful, this is what will happen, all right? And so I'm speaking to men and women. I know that the proverb here was generally speaking to the masculine gender, to men. We have to understand that we don't have this thing down. So, well, I've been married for, and you just fill in the blank. You know, I could say, well, I've been married for 44 years. You know, I know a thing or two about marriage. Well, we might know a thing or two, but we don't know it all, right? We don't know it all. I said, right? We don't. And so we need God to help us. And even what we do know, that doesn't mean that we're perfect at it. Just because you know something doesn't mean that you're perfect at what you know. And so I hope we'll approach it that way. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to deal with the ladies. Proverbs 18. Ladies, the first thing I see in the scripture, as I was going through this, I actually dealt with the couples in Peru. In our marriage seminar there, this is something that God laid on my heart, and I dealt with them about it. We had a little bit of a different session where we had questions and answers during this time. And so it'll be a little different. Proverbs 18, look if you would, in verse number 22. And the first thing that the Word of God says, that I'm going to bring out to you in the book of Proverbs for a wife is you are to be a good thing. You say, wait a minute now, I'm not a thing. Well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Amen? Notice what the Word of God says in Proverbs 18, verse number 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, amen. See, the men are really, they were pressing that one. They know she's keeping score. But, men, if you can say, I got a check there, my wife's a good thing. She is. She's a good thing. Now, really, if you look at this, and I'm not going to get into to depth in these things, but notice what he said. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Now, what is implied here is the good thing that you find is a good wife. That's the implication. So just any wife now, wait a minute. When you study the scripture, you'll find that God has a mate for every man. That's right. Remember when Abraham, and I don't have time to go into this, but Abraham sent a servant, and he prayed when Abraham said, listen, go find my son Isaac a wife. And he said, God, he prayed, and he said, Lord God, he said, I pray that the first one that comes this way, that she would be, and this is in Genesis 24, right around verse 50, right in there somewhere, that she would be the one that you have appointed for him. And so you need to read that again. I'm glad that God has a mate for every man, aren't you? That's right. And so it's important to pray now. Listen, it's important to pray. Don't take this thing of getting married. If you're not married, don't take this thing lightly now. That's right. I'm going to be very frank with you right now, young folks. Don't chase just a good look now. You pray and you ask God what he would have you to do about a mate. And God will show you. God will make it very clear to you about the mate for you. He will make it very clear. And so, number one, ladies, are you a good thing? Do you, as Proverbs 31, if you'll just look there just for a moment, hold your place in chapter 20. But in Proverbs 31, we looked at this morning in verse number 11, the heart of her husband, Proverbs 31, verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. A good woman, a good wife, is one that her husband can trust. A good wife, a good lady, is one that her husband hath no need of spoil. In other words, he doesn't have to go outside of what she provides. He doesn't have to be looking for other ways to benefit when it comes to what she is providing. Verse number 12 of Proverbs 31, look at it. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Isn't that something? I like that little phrase. I always have. You know, it's in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here the Bible says that a good woman, a good wife, will do her husband good all the days of her life. That's her intention. That's what she desires to do. It's not a drudgery. It's not a duty. It's a desire of her heart to do her husband good. And so Proverbs, as you go back, Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says that if you find a good wife, sir, you found a good thing. And it goes on to say this, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. God smiled on you. That's about what it's saying. God looked down from heaven and gave you that wonderful wife you have if she's a good wife, and he smiled on you. That's exactly when it says, and obtained favor of the Lord. He was gracious. He smiled on you when he gave you that woman that you call your wife. How about it? How'd she do? Can you put a check there? I hope you can. Listen, I know some of you can. And I know some of you more than I know others. I hope all of you can. But now you know your wife better than anyone else. And ladies, I'm just saying, this is something God has laid on you. He wants you to be a good wife so that he can show favor into your home. The second thing, and I'm just going to go through these because of time, I have five for each. Notice if you would in Proverbs 12. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. There, I could, and I'm not saying this because I'm saying I know some things. Any preacher here could take each one of these texts and preach an entire message on them. An entire message on either one of these texts. Some of them you could preach series of messages on them because God's word is just that way. Now notice if you would in Proverbs chapter number 12. Are you there? Look at verse number 4. ladies and gentlemen, look at what it says. It says in Proverbs 12, in verse number 4, a virtuous woman. So not only be a good woman, a good thing, a good wife, but be a virtuous. And a virtuous woman, notice what the scripture says here in verse number 4 of Proverbs 12, is a crown to her husband. But you know what? It says right after that, that she that maketh a shame is a rottenness in his bones. She's untrustworthy. She's loose living. She's not dedicated. That's a rottenness to any man's bones. But now, in verse number 4, it says a virtuous woman. That's moral integrity and strength. That's what it speaks of, honor. A virtuous woman. We looked at Proverbs 31 this morning, and so here it says that a virtuous woman is someone that is a crown. In other words, she makes him look good. He wears her well. Amen. I mean, she brightens him. She adds to his stature. She adds to his testimony. If you'll read in Proverbs 31 sometimes, you'll find where it says that the people at the gate, they will honor her. And they will know her husband because they'll know him by her faithfulness, her testimony, her crown that she is to him. He completes her, and she completes him. And that's what this is saying, a virtuous, strong morally, strong in purity. It's someone that is focused on her responsibility so that he can focus on his responsibility. And so, how did you do on that one? This is the Word of God. Now, this is not me. I'm telling you what God's Word says. God's Word said it right here. Again, Proverbs 12, verse number 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. The third thing. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Not only does the Scripture say that to pass the test, ladies, you need to be a good wife, a good thing. And God will show favor. You need to be virtuous. You say, well, you know, aren't all ladies virtuous? Don't make me answer that question. I think we know what's going on in our society today. And it's a crying shame, isn't it? It's a shame. And by the way, it's not just in Hollywood. It's in our churches. We need to get control of this thing. We need to follow what the Scripture teaches and quit following the ways of the world. And so the Scripture says in Proverbs 19, notice what it says here in verse number 9. Verse number 14. Proverbs 19, verse number 14, it says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that your parents can hand down to you. But only the Lord can give you a prudent wife. That's what he's saying. You need to pray that God gives you a prudent wife. And if you've got one, you need to thank her every day, and you need to thank God every day. You say, now what is a prudent wife? Well, I looked the word prudent up. I think we know basically what the word prudent is. It means circumspect. You say, well, I don't even know what that word is. It's a good Bible word. It means upright. Is someone that walks uprightly, someone with some integrity. She's upright. Not only is she upright, but she's wise. She's a good steward. She's skilled. She guards her words. She's a good steward, a good caretaker of the things that she is placed over. She's teachable. She's humble. She reverences God. And so she's prudent. And if God has given you a prudent wife, you ought to thank her every day. Honey, thank you for being you. Amen? Thank you for being you. And you ought to thank God. God, thank you that I'm not living with some silly, acting, wild whatever. You ought to thank God for a prudent wife. Now, I think I believe everyone in here could check that one. A prudent wife, wise, circumspect, good steward. Ladies, this is what God expects you to be. God expects this of you. And God expects you to be this in his sight, but he also expects you to be this to your husband. A good one. A a good wife, a virtuous wife, a prudent wife. And then the fourth thing, notice if you would in Proverbs 21. Now this is where it gets a little bit dicey, ladies. And we'll see. I don't know. Men, sharpen your pencil. Proverbs 21, look at verse number 9. Boy, I tell you, this man, I believe he had some experiences. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, ladies, what God is saying here is don't be a contentious person. Actually, he follows up on it a little bit in verse number, I think it's 19. Yeah, 19. Go over to verse 19 of chapter 21, Proverbs 21. And so he gives all these positive qualities. Be a good wife. And he that findeth a good wife findeth a good thing, and you've obtained favor of the Lord. And then he said, not only to be a good wife, and he said, be a virtuous wife. Have strong moral integrity. Be pure. Chaste. Carry yourself like a lady. Then he said, not only be good and virtuous, but he said, be prudent. You know, apply yourself. Get you some wisdom from God. Now, wisdom and knowledge are different. Let's get some wisdom from the Lord. Obtain that wisdom and apply yourself and be circumspect. And then he said, don't you be contentious. Don't let the beauty of all those other things fall by the wayside with an attitude problem. And so he said in verse number 9, he talked about brawling, and then look at verse number 19. He said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Now, every woman in here, and just to be fair, every man too, has been angry. So this is not saying, well, you know what, I failed. I got angry one time. No, if you got angry one time, you passed with flying colors. Anger is a part, it's an emotion just like joy. And we all have been angry. But what the scripture's teaching here is that people that are always angry. You ever met someone, I mean, they're always angry. They're always contentious. I mean, they just love to argue. You ever met someone, I mean, they just love a good argument. I mean, they'll pick one. I don't have anybody in mind. But you've met someone like that, right? If you've been around long enough, you've met someone that just loves to argue. They just love to argue and fuss and fight. And no matter what is said, they're going to disagree with it so they can have a good argument with you. And here, the wise man, Solomon, said, listen, you need to be careful. He said, life is going to be very unpleasant for you if you marry someone like this. Or if you have married someone that always wants to argue, always nagging, always brawling, always negative, nothing's ever good enough, you're not good enough, the money you make's not enough, the person you are is not good enough, the house you live in is not good enough. The things you provide is not enough. Just never satisfied. He said, this is not what you're looking for. And ladies, I have no reason to believe that there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is like this right here. But if there's just a pinch of that in your life, you need to confess it to God and say, God, help me not to be that person. That is not a pleasant person. You want to be a pleasant and a peaceful person, right? You want the beauty on the outside come from the inside. And let your heart be that would not be that contentious person that's always just on and on. I mean, a man can't even get in the door good. He's stepping up on the front porch and you done tore into him. That is not good. You say, well, what about him? Well, we're talking about you right now. All right? We'll talk about him later. See, a lot of times that's a problem. We can't even take instruction about what we need because we're concerned about what they need. And I'm not being mean to you. I'm just trying to help you. You'll never get the help you need as long as you're only concerned about the help someone else needs. You have to say, what do I need? What changes do I need to make my marriage, to make my life, to make my family, whatever, my business? If there needs to be changes, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? See, I can control me. God has given me control of that. God has not given me control of you. But he has said, listen, you are responsible for you. I'm going to answer to God for me. And you're going to answer to God for you. And we need to quit looking at other people and saying, well, now this one needs this and this one, especially in the home when it's between man and wife. And just start saying, well, you know what? If my husband just this, 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 and this, how about you saying if I just this, 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 and this, and then give him some space to work on it. You say, well, what if he doesn't do it? You believe God answers prayer? Do you? Yeah. Well, then pray. And so here's the first negative that I found. It's not the only one. It's the only one that I mentioned. Because I believe that mostly, I just do. I believe that ladies are the good thing of Proverbs 18. I believe they're virtuous, good Christian ladies. I believe they're prudent, and they do guard, and they put their best foot forward, and they want to be a good steward. But here, well, being peaceable, being pleasant. A lot of times, ladies are. But you know, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll kind of fall into some things and you'll think the way you're going to fix something is just to attack it. And ladies, I'm telling you, please, please listen to your pastor. That is not the way you fix things. I'm going to talk to you right now as a man and not your pastor. Men cannot stand that. If you've got something that we need to resolve, let's talk about it. But don't nag me about it. That's not going to end well. Don't nag me. Don't be contentious with me all the time. We can have a conversation. I'm a reasonable person, right? We can have that conversation. But don't just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And so there's a reason that the wise man, Solomon, put this in the scripture. Sometimes ladies think that's the way they're going to get it done. And if you're that lady, I'm going to ask you to ask God to give you some help. Because that's not good for your marriage. It wears on a person. So what about him? I done told you about him. Will you get him off your mind right now? And let God deal with you. God wants to help you. He'll help your husband here in just a moment. Usually, let me ask you a question. Let me show you a good principle here. When I went over that good thing with you, were you asking about him? When I went over that virtuous thing with you, were you concerned about him then? That prudent thing. See, a lot of times when God puts his finger on my heart, on something in my life, if I'm not careful, I'll be looking for someone else to justify what God's put his finger on my life for. And that's not going to help me. That's not going to help me. What's going to help me is I say, it's me, oh Lord. It's me that stands in the need of some help right here. Help me. I need some help. I'm not going to get better without getting some help. You know, I've got plateaued in some areas. I need God to help me. Amen. And I don't want to think more highly of myself. I don't want to be like most men. I want to be above that. Amen. Now, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, remember what we read in Proverbs 20? Most men, you know, I don't want to be that. I told you, I'm not good with average. Some people celebrate average every day, mediocrity. That's not me. And I pray to God that's not anyone sitting under the sound of my voice. Don't you ever get comfortable with participation trophies. Don't you ever get comfortable with just mediocrity. God has commissioned you. God has made you much more than that. And ladies, God has something very, very special. And if he's made you that good wife, and if he's helped you to be that virtuous wife and that prudent wife, don't let this sour that. If it is a problem, I'm going to ask you to commit it to God in prayer and ask for his help. The final thing for the ladies, men, you're judging them. how's your wife doing? Not out loud, but just, you know, if she's doing good, reach over and give her a hug. All right, one, two, three. I'm not going to do that. Well, that's okay. I'm going to get to you in a minute. Number five, Proverbs 31. This is where we'll end the ladies. Proverbs 31. Notice, if you would, in verse number 30. So the wife checklist is this, all right? Number one, ladies, I hope you got it. Be a good wife. Be that good thing that your husband can just relish and rejoice and be grateful. Be that good wife that your husband can say, God, thank you so much. Man, I hit the jackpot. Amen. I got everything. I got everything that I was desiring and then some. Number two, be virtuous, that your husband may safely trust in you. Build that trust and that trustworthiness, that moral strength and moral integrity by being virtuous. Be the crown of your husband. Don't be the rottenness of his bones. Number three, be prudent. Be wise. Be a good steward. Guard your mind. Guard your lips. Guard your actions. And then be peaceable. Be pleasant. Don't be nagging. Don't be, you know, nitpicking. Now, this is not saying that you can't ever just say, hey, look, you know, this needs to be done. I'm not saying that at all. That's not nagging. Good night. I gave you men an opportunity for a big old amen, and you just sit there. All right. Let's get to the last one. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. I said this morning, I'll say it again. This is not saying that a lady should not take care of herself and it doesn't matter. Her outward appearance doesn't matter. It is not saying that at all. God wants men and women to look their best and be their best. Somebody say amen with me. God wants us to take care of ourselves. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Take care of yourself. You only get one of these per lifetime. That's right. And as far as I know, I hadn't got a phone call yet saying that I still had a warranty left. These people on my vehicle keep calling me, you still got a warranty. What are you talking about? I'm going to ask them if it'll work for my body. I need a warranty on me, amen, not my vehicle. I need a warranty on this vehicle. So Proverbs 30 says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but watch this. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, a woman that fears God, here it is, reverence. Reverence, that's the word that I wrote down. Reverence, have a reverence for God. You know, I have found that anyone that has a reverence for God will have a respect for other things and other people. It all begins with a reverence for God. You know why our country is spiraling out of control? There's no reverence for God. Aren't you glad for ladies that have a reverence for God? A holy respect for God. And so he said, ladies, fear the Lord. That word fear is reverence. Have a respect for the things of God. Now, there's other things in the book of Proverbs for the ladies, but these are five things that I chose. How did you do, ladies? Husbands, in your mind, could you say, you know what? God has shown me great favor, preacher. I've got a good wife. I've got a good thing. God has certainly shown me great favor. I've got a virtuous wife. I'm so thankful for her integrity. I'm so thankful for her standard of living, her ladylike, the way she carries herself. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that she is not just virtuous and that she's good, but I'm thankful she's prudent. My wife is not, you know, just some silly. She knows what it is to have some wisdom about her, some wits about her. She carries herself that way. And I praise God for her, preacher. She fears the Lord. She reverences God and the things of God. She understands there's a difference between the profane and the holy, right? She gets it. And then she's not a brawling. She's not someone looking for contention. Yes, we do have, well, let's see, we're in church, so we'll say debates. We do have debates. And sometimes they get intense. But everyone does. Everyone has arguments. Right? Right? Come on. Sure. But now, if arguments are happening with regularity in your marriage, something is broken. I'm not saying it's the lady. I'm just saying you need to get that fixed. And only God can take care of that. But now, you don't want a lot of contention in your home. Especially, listen, you would never want that. But I want to tell you something now. And you young parents, please listen to me. Your children will pick up on the contention of you and your wife. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good environment. Brawling and contention and fussing and fighting. It's just not a good thing. So I pray God give you some help. Now let's move to the men. And ladies, now it's your turn. I hope he leaned over and told you, God has shown me great favor. All right. Proverbs 5. I must hasten. So I'll just run through these men. No, I'm just Amen. Amen. Oh, well, I tell you, I got some amens there. Man, they were men looking like, yeah. I knew we could count on you, preacher. Amen. That's our man there. All right, here we go. Proverbs 5. Look at verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed. Proverbs 5, verse 18. And rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Here it is, men. Are you rejoicing with your wife? Or are you just enduring like, well, you know, we're going to stay together, I guess. You know, what the world is that? It says right here, he said, let thy fountain, I don't have time to go into this, but it's really just, it's talking about your family. It's talking about everything that springs from you, men. And I don't want to, I'll just say that, okay? Because we are in mixed company, and I'm not ashamed to say what the Bible teaches. It's just sometimes I want to be appropriate. And so he's just saying, you know, let thy fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Have fun with your wife. Rejoice. Amen. Enjoy your wife. Come on, men. Enjoy your wife. And then he said, be romantic. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. You know what loving hinds and pleasant roe? Now listen, don't you go home tonight and tell your wife, come here, you pleasant roe. Come here and give me some sugar, you loving hind. You might get more than sugar. We might have to go back to Proverbs 21 about that brawling and contention. You start calling her those kind of names. But when you look these animals up, brethren, they're graceful. They're elegant. I did it. I looked them up because I thought, you know, I don't know that I want to pass that test. You know. But when I looked them up, it's talking about elegance. It's talking about gracefulness, attractiveness. He said, you treat your wife like a precious commodity. You handle her like that box you get sometimes that says, handle with care, fragile. You take care of her. You be gentle with her. You love her. You understand that she's wired different than you. You get to know her and know her needs and know what it's going to take to fulfill what she is looking for in her husband. It's your responsibility, sir. It's my responsibility to do that. 1 Peter goes into detail into this. God wants us men to understand our wives. God wants us men to realize she's not one of the boys. Say amen with me now. Now, I can be a little harder on you. You've got tougher skin. You don't have fragile on your box. Amen. But you know what I'm saying, men. And so he says here, he said, you know, enjoy your wife. Rejoice with her. One of my favorite, and I'm not going to turn to it, I'm going to ask you to write this down and read it with your wife tonight. Genesis 26, verse 8. It's one of my favorite. Just when Isaac and Rebekah were sporting, the scripture says. And I believe they were just rolling in the hay. They were just enjoying one another. He was rejoicing with the wife of his youth. You say, well, you know, I don't like that. Well, you know, you don't like that? Just get a load of this. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. You think I'm going to be ashamed to read that? That's the word of God. Now, why would he say that? You get your eyes off someone else. You keep your eyes on your wife. You let her satisfy you. Amen. Rejoice with her. Spend time with her. Invest in her. Don't spend your life starving and then blame temptation. Amen. And a lot of men do that. Don't starve yourself from your wife and then blame temptation for the reason you're having thoughts you shouldn't have. Rejoice with your wife. Do what this scripture says right here, and it'll solve a lot of problems. I want to give you one more thought from here before I move on. I really believe I could preach a series of messages out of this right here. This is some excellent material. Notice what he says here in verse 19. Let her breast satisfy thee. I like this next phrase. At all times. Don't ever become dissatisfied with your wife. Don't ever become dissatisfied. You praise God for her. You rejoice with her. And you let her be the one that satisfies you at all times. Look at what it says after that. It says, and be thou ravished. Look at that next word. Always with her love. Always. What a statement. Could you imagine what could happen if we men were to follow this right here? It would take care of a lot of thoughts that we have that we don't want to have. You listening? Now I could go into some great depth here. Ladies will never understand the way we're wired, men. And I could talk to you right now and you'd say, that man knows how I'm thinking. You know why? I'm a man like you. That's why. Don't you look at me that way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, the ladies don't. But they know some things that we have. Listen, we're wired different. That's why God made her our completer. And so he said right here, he said, this is going to help you right here. And so you need to do this. You need to rejoice with the wife of your youth. Don't you grow out of having fun with your wife. Don't you grow out of joking and carrying on and rejoicing and having fun and spending time with your wife. You say, well, we're older now. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. We're going to get to that one in just a moment. So rejoice, all right? Be ravished. Now turn, if you would, to Proverbs 20. Here's the second thing. And I'm going to, if we have to come back to this, we will, but I don't want to overtax you. Proverbs 20, I'm going to mention these, and we'll come back to some of these, but I want to get at least a thought here. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Be faithful. That's not talking about just romantically, sexually. It's talking about be faithful, be a provider, be a leader, right? Be a leader, be faithful, be in your place. You know what God's called you to do. You know what God has wired you to do. You know how God has built you. We talk about we want our women folks to follow our leadership. Will you be faithful to provide that leadership? Is that right, men? Be men. Our country is turning into a bunch of sissies. Just a bunch of feminine. It's crazy. I've never one time in my life, I seen a t-shirt and I told Sharon, I called her over and I said, honey, I said, I think I'm going to get me this t-shirt. And it had on the back of it, it said, I'm not bragging or anything, but I've been the same gender since I was born. What foolishness. What foolishness this is. And here it says, most men will think, you know what, I'm all that, but what we need to do is be faithful. We need to understand we don't have all the answers. We need to understand we have some chinks in the armor. We need to understand that we need God to help us. And that's okay. That doesn't make us less of a man. It's more of a man that'll say, God, I need your help. Now, that's a man. Not a man that says, I don't need God. That's not a man. That's a fool. And I say that with reverence now. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Be faithful. Then he said this in verse number 7. He said, the just man walketh with his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So men, here's what he's saying. Number one, rejoice with your wife. Let her meet your needs. Don't you be looking outside of that. Number two, be faithful. Be a man of integrity. Provide some leadership. Look at what he said the last part of verse number 7. He said his children are blessed after him. Provide that leadership and that instruction in the home that your children need. Your children need you to guide them. Quit leaving that on mama. The Bible teaches the father's the leader of the home. You lead your home. You guide your children. Yes, mama's a big part of that, and I thank God for that. But listen, men, it's on us. It's on us. And so he said, be a faithful man, right? Be faithful. The third thing. So how are we doing? How are we doing, ladies? The men doing all right? Are you all right? Okay, doing good. All right, so Don's going to make it home so far. Yeah, a little canceling. Don said, so far, so good. But there's three more to go. All right, number three, and I'm just going to mention this one. I'm going to give you the scriptures because my time is out. Provide for your family, men. Provide for your family. And listen, the Bible says, I'm going to give you the scripture. Proverbs 10:4, write it down. Proverbs 10:4, write it down, ladies. And drive it home to him when he gets there. Amen. Proverbs 10:4. Proverbs 13, verse number 4. And then Proverbs 20, verse number 4. It's odd that all those are verse 4, but they are. That's not an error. I tell you, that Proverbs, since we're here in Proverbs 20, are you still there? I want you to look at verse 4. This is one of my all-time favorites. I heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach a message right after I was saved called Too Lazy to Plow. And I'm telling you right now, it is excellent. And then this was his text that he used, Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Don't be a lazy loafer. Work. Work's good for us. Work gives us purpose, right? Fathers, build some good work ethic in your sons. And some of you are, listen, many of you are, and I praise God for that. Listen, I see some of these young men, and they're being taught a good work ethic. And that's what's going to help them as they grow older, a good work ethic. It's okay for your children not to play all the time. Now, I know I'm meddling a little bit right now, but I'm just telling you, it's okay. Children don't have to play all the time. There's time for play. There's a time for play. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. But it's good to have chores. I praise God for families who set up a chore list for their children, and they have some type of structure where they're going to see that their children's going to do a little work. It's okay. It's not going to kill them. It's just not. And if you die working, well, I don't know if that's too bad of a way to go. All right. He said it in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Timothy 5, 1 Thessalonians 4. It says that if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. It says if a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. Not an infidel. He's worse than one. I believe it's talking about providing more than just bringing home the bacon, gentlemen. God wants me to provide a spiritual leadership, a spiritual environment. God wants me to provide the atmosphere of our home to where we realize, listen, we are Christians. We're going to honor God with our life. Our decisions are going to be based around what this book right here says. Not some whim or some feeling. We're going to see what God has to say about it, and that's going to shape our decision on this matter. All right? All right, number 4. Build her up with the words that you speak. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. And I could give you, and I want to give them to you, okay? Proverbs 12, verse 18. I hope you'll write this down, gentlemen. I mean, it's good instruction. Sometimes my mouth gets out of its lane. Now, I know I'm the only one. Now, you say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes I say things I wish I could just grab and put it back in my mouth. Amen. I just do. And I'm just being transparent with you. Now, I'm not talking about dirty words, curse words. Don't look at me like, some of you looking at me like, what in the world? We would have never thought it, preacher. Amen. Well, don't think it, because that's not so. That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes I'll quip at my wife, and you know what? I should never do that. I should never do that. Now, that's rare, ain't it? How am I doing, by the way? Amen. Amen. It's rare, but you know what? It should. I don't ever want to say something out of line to my wife. You know, as you grow older, you grow in appreciation, don't you, gentlemen? You just do for the good wife that God gave you. I don't want to say anything out of bounds. I just don't. I don't want to be that. And sometimes I'm not even going to go into that. But anyway, Proverbs 12:18, Proverbs 15:1, write it down. Proverbs 15:18. Proverbs 15:18. Proverbs 16:32 says that if a man can't control his temper, he's in trouble. A man that can, listen, he's stronger than a man that can take down a strong city. We need to learn. There's just some things that we never should say to our wife. There's just some things that should never come out of our mouths. We need to speak with soft answers. We need to speak. Remember now, they're fragile. They're wired different. They're not one of the guys, all right? And so we have to remember that. Build them up. The scripture says, listen, the Bible clearly teaches a woman needs to be built up. She needs to be edified. She needs to hear the affirmation of her husband, right? Come on, men. Yes, a woman struggles with these things, her value in the home. They may never would tell you, so I'm going to tell you for them. They struggle, you know, of their value, and they wonder, am I doing a good job? Am I doing it right? Am I pleasing my husband, my family? And they need us not to tear them down, not to tell them what they're not doing right. They need us to hone in and concentrate on what they're doing right, not what they're doing wrong, right? And I know it's difficult, but it's what God is saying. I want you to do this because it's going to help your home. You don't just take out your aggression. Some people come to church and shake people's hand and smile and talk about how great life is and go home and treat their family like dirt. I sure hope there's nobody here in this church that would do that. But I want you to know now that can happen. And if it does, and you're under the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask you to get control over that and ask God to help you. If you can be kind and good to everyone else but not to your family, you've got a problem, sir. And you don't, what that is not a thing in the world but disregard and disrespect for your family. And I'm not being mean, I'm trying to help you. Final thing, praise your wife. Proverbs 31:28. Praise her. Praise your wife. How did they do, ladies? Did they do all right? What kind of guys we got in here? Man, some of you ashamed to say, everybody's just looking like, you know what? I've been going, but I got to make sure you got these right. I want to make sure now. This is important stuff. Husbands, rejoice with your wife. The Bible says dwell with them according to knowledge. Spend some time with them. Get to know them. Find out their likes and dislikes. Find out their needs. God has laid it on you to meet their needs. They're built different. They're wired different. I cannot overemphasize. And you know these things. You know these things. Sometimes you just need to be reminded. All right? The Bible says we ought to rejoice with the wife of our youth. Don't let age change your rejoicing with her. Say, well, now we used to get down like old Isaac and Rebecca and roll around in the fields, but we're a little older now, preacher. Well, you know what? Just grab a hold of one another and just hold each other real close and tight. Your husband and wife, there's not a thing wrong with that. Enjoy your wife. Spend time with her. It's important. Be ravished with her. But now don't forget this. I did mention this. Don't go home tonight and call her a hind or a roe. Or I just want to make sure that you've got that part. Number two, be faithful. Be faithful now. Now, I'm not talking about just as far as in sexual or in that marital relation. I'm talking about in every way. Be faithful. You tell your wife you're going to do something, do it. Right? Let your word be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful in spiritual matters. Break out the word of God on a regular basis and say, we're going to see what God says tonight. Have some Bible reading with your family. Be in church. Pray with your family. Pray with your wife. You know, I found out something. It's harder to pray with my wife than it is for my wife. Am I the only one that way? You say, I don't have a problem, preacher. Well, good. I'm glad you don't. Number three, provide for your family. Be a provider in every way. Number four, build her up. Don't tear her down now. Be the kind of husband that builds your wife up. That constantly gives her that affirmation and that confidence. Honey, you're a great wife. You're a great wife. You're special. Thou excellest them all. And then finally, praise your wife. All right? Praise her. Don't just look for the bad she does. She's going to make mistakes. She is. She's going to do something that's going to rub you wrong, or not do something that you wanted her to do that's going to rub you wrong. But don't just look for those things. Look at all the good things, the right things, right? So I hope this will help you. You say, well, I made 100. Well, I told you it wasn't going to be painful. You say, well, I didn't do good at all. Well, I said this morning when I took a test and didn't do good, I always blamed the test giver. But in this case, I can't. Because the person who gave this test is perfect. And he's always right. Came right out of this book right here. I want to ask you to please stand. Now, there's a lot more in here, in the book of Proverbs, actually. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about the home and how God structured it, how God intends it to run, and how God wants the husband, wife, family unit. God has a blueprint for the home. He does. And when we go by God's blueprint, there is a great blessing. There is great favor on our homes and our lives. But now when we do not, well, things get a little sideways, don't they? They do. And so I want to ask you to bow your head with me. And as the pianist plays, I'm just going to ask you to search your heart and ask yourself some really serious questions. You know, how are things really? Now, I know that most men, and I'm going to go ahead and say women, they will, you know, they'll think more highly of themselves and say, well, we're doing great. And I hope you are. I really do. But now, if there's flaws in your marriage, they don't just go away on their own. Brother, listen, they don't just go away on their own. Ladies, problems don't fix themselves. But God wants to help you. And through the ministry of His Word and the Holy Spirit, if you get in the Word of God is like a salve. It's like a medicine. It's a healing balm that's good for what ails the soul. I pray that you'll get some help from the Lord. I do. Genuinely, I pray God will help you. Strengthen your home. Strengthen your marriage, your love for one another, your love for your family. I pray that you get the help you need.